SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We welcome you to hour number three, our third and final live right here on this Friday morning on the Early Line on Sports Grid. Our third and final hour of this week on TEL as well, as we set the stage for a huge, huge weekend in the world of sports. Game six tonight inside the world's most famous arena. It's the Knicks and the Celtics. New York one win away with mounting pressure trying to reach their first Eastern Conference Finals in 2.5 decades. It's Donnie's favorite weekend in Major League Baseball, rivalry weekend. Mm-hmm. We'll look at this full Friday slate around the bigs in just a little bit. We'll go to Quail Hollow. We'll check in with Keith Stewart to preview round number two already underway and the rest of the weekend at the 2025 PGA Championship in Charlotte. Later in the show, we'll be joined to break down the Preakness Stakes as well, the second leg of the Triple Crown. We just talked about the WNBA season debuting on this Friday night and all weekend long. Stanley Cup playoffs continues. So much to get to here, DRS, with one more hour to go.
Absolutely. And by the way, just take a look at the PGA Championship. Jonathan Vegas is out on the golf course, Ben. He's a plus one today right out of the gate, so he drops back to six. But some other guys lighting the course up. Max Homa, six under today through nine holes. You take a look at Colin Morikawa, three under through seven holes. And also J.J. Spawn and Mathieu Pavon, three under and three under through nine and seven holes. So players are getting after it today. Scottie Scheffler might have his work cut out for him.
Yeah, maybe so, DRS. He goes off at 1:47 p.m. Eastern time in the afternoon wave. Beautiful day in Charlotte. Course is drying up. Hopefully the mud ball conversation was just a one-day thing. Scotty at 2 under par, the best of that group, featuring Xander Schauffele and Rory McIlroy, of course, the top three players in the world. Xander 1 over in his PGA Championship defense. Rory McIlroy, our most recent major winner, of course, completing the career Grand Slam at Augusta National. He is 3 over par. The celebration's a big thing for Rory. As you mentioned, Max Homa, I don't know if you saw the clip, DRS. It is a drivable par 4, 14th hole, about 340 yards, a little bit shorter if you take the aggressive line over the trees. Max Homa not only drove the green, put it to about 3 feet for a tap-in eagle. He is playing some great golf at this moment, where he has really been struggling with his golf swing this season. 5 under par, as DRS alluded to.
Yeah, actually 6 under par now at this point there, and minus what for the tournament? Minus 4 under. Impressive start so far. But I love that when you have some of these championship golf courses where they give you, because you can lay up there on the fairway, but if you really want to take advantage of it, you can do some damage there, which includes birdies and also, more importantly, eagles there. I think there is danger down the left-hand side of that hole with water, which I saw a couple people go into yesterday, but that's how you do it, man. You get a par 4 and you get an eagle on a par 4, good luck, man. Yeah. You're off.
Donnie, some jumbled prices after the four best odds to win the PGA Championship right now. Scottie Scheffler, the favorite. Colin Morikawa off to a great start on this Friday morning. Mm-hmm. Bryson DeChambeau, who entered with the third best price, even par yesterday on the course as we speak, and John Rahm. A lot of guys, 25-1, 28-1, 30-1, 35-1. That includes Max Homa, who, as you said, is really making his way, shooting up that leaderboard. 4 under for the tournament and a tie for sixth right now, just 2 back at 35-1 for Max Homa. That is an interesting price. All right, DRS, let's get to what we have for game six tonight inside Madison Square Garden. The New York Knicks, the Boston Celtics. Go New York, go New York, go. Or will we go back to Beantown for a Game 7 on Monday night at the home of the reigning NBA champs after the might they showed in Game 5, even without Jason Tatum on the floor? Who wins Game 6? What is the best bet tonight in MSG? That was our question to all of you in Fade the Public. It's a Friday night Knicks in the Frayed the Public poll. What is the best bet for tonight's Celtics Knicks game in game number 6 at Sports Grid on Twitter? The Knicks as a slight 2.5-point favorite. Basically, you got to think that's the public saying New York to win outright in advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. The Celtics as the road underdog in over of 210. Total now stands at 211 or the under. DRS, runaway vote getter and leader. That would be the New York Knicks to win outright tonight in game 6 and cover as a 2.5-point favorite. 51% of the vote, but fewer than 5%. That would be on the under. That's always interesting from a fade the public perspective. Which way did DRS look here in the fade the public poll?
Went with the public, man. Give me the 51%. I'm with the people, Ben, that getting off work today, going to get a chopped cheese the Aki way and ready to settle in and watch some Knicks basketball down at the Garden. So, yes, the Knicks win today. They cover the 2.5. I support the general public out here that is also backing my pick as well. Look, the Celtics are going to be game. That's a quality team. But the Knicks understand this. You cannot let – this is game 7 for the New York Knicks. You can't let this get to a game 7 in the TD Bank Garden. Close it down at Madison Square Garden tonight. Yeah. End it, and I believe they will.
DRS, we talked, of course, about the spread for game 5. Even without Jason Tatum after rupturing his right Achilles at the end of game number 4, Boston was a 4.5 and then 5-point home favorite against the Knicks, despite a ton of public love for New York in the betting markets and stats, thinking it would be too much for the Celtics to overcome without their best player in Tatum to hold off the New York Knicks in that 3-1 series lead. 77% of the bets on the spread backing New York by the time we got the tip inside TD Garden on Wednesday night. And of course, it wasn't just the Celtics extending this series, even covering as a 5-point home favorite. It was Boston winning by 25. And it was tied at the break. It was a complete reversal from what we had seen in large part in this series. New York being dominant in the third quarter and the second half. It was very much a different story for the Celtics running away with things in that second half in quarter 3 and 4. I would assume with how you are voting and what you are thinking about this game, that is not giving you a ton of cause for concern, maybe in the same way we thought about things after game 3 when the Celtics won by 22 in the Garden at full health. And we thought, all right, maybe that's what we can truly expect in this series out of Boston and New York. You are not feeling the same way, DRS. You are going the Aki way at a chopped cheese because you still have confidence despite that pressure mounting on the Knicks.
Exactly. Like, you have to get this done tonight if you're the Knicks. They understand that. They didn't play their best game in their last game, and also Boston probably played their best game that they're going to play without Jason Tatum. Understand this. If the Boston Celtics down 3-1 going up against the New York Knicks and the Knicks collapse and lose 3 straight games to a Tatumless Boston Celtics team, it's a wrap, man. It's a wrap on the head coach. Tibbs is going to be gone. Maybe 2 or 3 starters out of that starting lineup need to be gone because this is your season where the seas are parting for the Knicks to do some damage and make an Eastern Conference final and possibly get to a world championship round in the finals. And if they can't get by the Celtics without their best player with a 3-1 lead, it's a wrap here. I think they get it done tonight. I think Brunson has a big performance. Yeah. The Garden is going to carry the Knicks and make sure they're in it energy-wise because the start is going to be key. I don't think the Boston Celtics is going to rain down 7 of 8 from 3-point range to start this game. You got to have the Knicks with a lead at the end of the first quarter, and they should be able to carry the rest of this game.
DRS, nearly 51% of the public backing the Knicks as the slight home favorite. 82% of the money on FanDuel backing the Knicks as the home favorite on that spread, and over 70% of the volume of bets as well. Not a lot of love on the over, or on the under, I should say, for a total on the rise at 211 now. We'll discuss this game more a little bit later on, but I think it's a point that we have made in terms of playoff momentum and the immediate aftermath of losing a star to an injury, and JY mentioned it as well. In the first game after, that adrenaline can be high. You can make your adjustments, and then the other side has to adapt. Mm-hmm. Tom Thibodeau and New York had prepared for the entirety of this series, expecting first and foremost to try to slow down Jason Tatum. That was completely gone in game 5. The Celtics, to their benefit, took advantage of it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A Friday in round number two already underway at golf's second major of the year. It's the PGA Championship live from Quail Hollow. So that's exactly where we go. Keith Stewart joining us here bright and early on this Friday morning. Keith, Cut Day Friday is already underway. We hope you are enjoying everything so far here at the PGA Championship.
Ben, Donnie, good morning. It is already hot and humid down here, and I tell you what, the Green Mile is going to get super steamy this afternoon. This cut line sitting right about plus one, plus two, is going to be very exciting when you consider the closing holes here at the Quail Hollow Club.
We've got some guys going low already as the course continues to dry out in Charlotte. Max Homa, six under to his first 10 holes here in round number two. Over par yesterday, now four under par for the tournament, just a few shots back. Of course, he is a well-known name on the PGA Tour and in the golf world. But Keith, one of the stories of the opening round Thursday, the big guns struggling in a leaderboard that featured some names we probably haven't seen and heard from in a while, or some guys that we hardly even know of, unless you are the staunchest of PGA Tour fans. What did you make of the start to the opening round at the 2025 PGA Championship yesterday?
Well, you know what, Ben, you're right. Round one, there's a lot of no names near the top of that leaderboard, but from a Sports Grid perspective, from a read the line perspective, it was absolutely electric the way that Johnny Vegas closed yesterday. 30 on his back nine, closes with three birdies, three wild birdies nonetheless, to steal the first round leader. I mean, that's what our viewers are talking about, right? I'm sure there were tickets on Cam Davis. I'm sure there were local tickets on Ryan Gerard, the North Carolina native. And Johnny Vegas comes in, rolls the dice, right? Goes full craps on everybody and just takes it from, takes those tickets away. So from a betting perspective, I thought it was electric to finish yesterday. I was running around thinking this is fantastic. And all the other writers, they're all like, who are these guys? I'm like, who cares? I said, Johnny Vegas is about to cash a triple digit number today for first round leader. This was awesome.
And by the way, fantastic stuff from the FanDuel Sportsbook also. Just taking a look at the live odds here. Boy, they update them really quick on the odds, but also the updates where the golfer is on the golf course, showing Colin Morikawa in the penalty here on hole 18. He drops from a 14-1 to an 18-1. But Keith, I want to talk top of the leaderboard right now. Not necessarily on the stroke advantage, but just on the leaderboard for the odds. Scottie Scheffler has dropped to a 3-1, hasn't taken the golf course yet. The expectations of a big round, but also the little bit of a controversy where he was upset yesterday in his post-round press conference. Talk a little about Scottie Scheffler here on what he said yesterday and how that might pertain to his round today.
Well, Donnie, you know what? There's no doubt that he probably shot the highest number he could yesterday, and he was two under par. The consistent Scottie was a little inconsistent at times, but he's still doing all of the things. The one thing that kind of let him down yesterday was the putter, and that's what's been so good lately and why he went absolutely nuclear in Dallas and beat the field by eight at the CJ Cup. But you know what? I know what you're talking about. Those guys, he and Xander, were very upset about mud on the golf ball and everything. The fact of the matter is that this is a major championship. Only one time in the history of all four of them have we used lift, clean, and place. And the idea that they needed preferred lies, I just don't think it was necessary yesterday. You know, a lot of the media was commenting on what Scottie was bringing up. But the fact of the matter is that had Scottie hit it down the middle of the fairway on 16 and ended up in a divot, he'd have to hit it from the divot. That's just the rules of golf. If you want to change them, that's fine. But Kerry Hague and the championship team, they're just dealing with the hand that they're dealt. They got 5 inches of rain in 5 days, but the golf course was still very, very playable. And as it evolves, one of the things that you want to keep an eye on, the fairways are still somewhat soft. The approaches, which is just that area just prior to the green, are still somewhat soft. The sub-air systems have really dried these greens out. These guys, they're going to be huge bounces on the greens. They're going to have to take on those front approaches. There's going to be a lot of guessing going on. Scottie should have started yesterday and said, you know what? I got to start calculating what's going on with this golf course rather than complaining about it.
Let's hope, Keith, that the mud ball controversy through round one at the PGA Championship starts to slide on this Friday. As you said, hot and humid, and the course continues to dry out. Scottie Scheffler in that mega group, the world's top three, Scheffler, McIlroy, and Schauffele, they tee off in round number two at 1:47 p.m. Eastern time. And, Keith, oftentimes when we have you here to preview a major championship, a PGA Tour event, Scheffler is incredibly short compared to the field, not at the start of the tournament, but those live odds now. Scottie, 3-1 after an opening round 69, 2 under par, but as Donnie said, has not taken the course just yet on this Friday. The next best price, Bryson DeChambeau at 16-1, who entered the tournament with the third shortest number at plus 700. Bryson, even par yesterday, one under today. As Keith, we mentioned, Max Homa, red hot right now. Colin Morikawa, still a good Friday round going here in round number two. There's a lot of value in the live outright odds board. Give us a couple of golfers you will be keying in on throughout the duration of this weekend.
Well, you know what? This morning you saw a couple rabbits go out quick. I know we mentioned Max Homa, but Tyrrell Hatton went out quick. He went to the green mile, and he had a lot of trouble on 18. You talked about Colin Morikawa. He's having trouble on 18. The guys that you want to look for are the guys that are going off the back first, and maybe they get through that green mile before the wind kicks up. You know, a guy that I had my eye on after yesterday's round was John Rahm. He played very, very solid golf, and he's sitting right there in the teens, around the number that he started the week at, but we're one round shorter into the tournament. He might be an investment that'd be worth a lot of possibility. Right now, Rory is nine back. If that number got up into the 30s, maybe even into the 40s before he tees off, that might be an option because he's won here four times. But I wouldn't sleep on the number right now for Max Homa. Don't forget the fact that he won here. It was his first tour win back in 2019. He won the Wells Fargo. And on top of that, even throughout all of his struggles of the last couple of years, in 2023, he finished eighth here. In 2024, he finished eighth here. You know what? He is a guy that you're going to get a good number on right now. That's probably the best investment that long-term, looking at his history, could pay off.
I think it's a great point, Keith. He's two back right now of Jonathan Vegas, who is one over through his opening four holes of his second round, a round one leader. Homa is four under right now, two shots back. He is six under today. He's 30-1 to win the PGA Championship at this moment. There could be some good cash out opportunities throughout the weekend as well. Keith Stewart, we appreciate everything this week. Live from Charlotte at Quail Hollow here on the Early Line. We wish you the best. Enjoy this Friday. Enjoy the weekend in Charlotte.
I cannot wait for this cut line this afternoon, guys. The wind's going to come up and the green mile is going to take some guys down.
A very difficult closing stretch there at Quail Hollow. Keith, thanks so much. MLB Rivalry Weekend next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
MLB Rivalry Weekend begins on this Friday. In fact, in one spot in Arlington between the Rangers and the Astros, it began on a Thursday. Donnie's favorite weekend of baseball. You can hear from DRS during his favorite weekend, Rivalry Weekend, on Sunday morning, 10 to noon Eastern time on Pro Baseball Today alongside Tom Vecchio. DRS, of course, one of the marquee matchups this weekend, not just because of the notoriety in the natural rivalry that we have, but also how two great teams have started this year in MLB. It is the Subway Series this weekend up in the Bronx. Two divisional leaders facing off as well, the Yankees and the Mets. The Yanks atop the AL East, 25-18. The Mets atop the NL East, 28-16. And the opener today features Carlos Rodon and his pinstripes as a home money line favorite at minus 138. Total stands at 9. DRS, tell us, how does the Subway Series begin this weekend?
I think we're priced appropriately there, right around a minus 134 price at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Why is that? Both lineups look really good. Maybe a slight edge to the New York Mets lineup, but Carlos Rodon, the lefty on the mound, has been sensational, particularly over the past 30 days. His last 122 batters that he's faced, how about a 123 ISO against and a 229 weighted on base percentage? A K rate, lefty on lefty, 40%. Lefty on righty, 30%. He's been nothing short of spectacular here, which equates to him at a 77 XFIP minus to go along with a 3.17 XFIP number. You take a look at Tyler McGill, who hasn't had a bad season at all. He's got an ERA very manageable at 310 and an XFIP minus number at 82. I would love to take this game over the total just the way because we play in a smaller ballpark. Weather conditions about 70 degrees at first pitch, more of a right foul pole to left foul pole wind. Not really going to help you out all that much, but I'm not sure, Ben, we get to 10 total runs in this game, even though, as I told you, I like the lineups. The pitchers have been pretty good. Rivalry type situation here in the city. I don't think we get to 10. I'll take the under, but also I'll have a lean towards the Yankees here at that minus 134 price as well.
Yeah, DRS, you know, it is really interesting, right? Because it is better weather this weekend along the East Coast, but you would expect a pretty good pitching duel tonight inside Yankee Stadium. Of course, a lot of foes might become friendlier as they look at what happens in Madison Square Garden down in the other borough of Manhattan, starting at 8 p.m. Eastern time. First pitch scheduled in the Bronx at 7 p.m. Eastern. DRS, of our rivalry series that we have this weekend, I believe you can bet on six. No, make that seven. Yeah, seven overall that you can pick the winner of these three-game sets this weekend. That includes this one between the Mets and the Yanks. Of course, the Yankees will have home field advantage. They are favored to win game number one, giving them the leg up. The Yankees a minus 172 favorite to win this series. Is there any way that you would approach this betting market for the Subway Series this weekend?
It's really hard pitching matchups, who expends the bullpen starting lineup. So it's really hard to put like a futures market over a three-game set. But again, it should be competitive here. You're getting some pretty good pitchers on the mound. But understand this too. Like, you're looking at games like tonight. Like I just told you, like Rodon is a really good pitcher this year with a high K rate. But the Mets against left-handed pitching have done very well, which includes, Ben, a super low K rate. Something has to give, right? A guy that strikes out a lot of batters and a team that puts the baseball in play, you might be leaning towards, hey, that might be a Mets night. I just think the pitcher is better on the side tonight from the New York Yankees. But as a series price, that's pretty much up in the air at this point. It's almost like a doubleheader, right? You say, well, hey, who do you like in game number two of the doubleheader? Well, how do I know who's playing and how did that game the day before actually turn out? Because, you know, the pressure gets ramped up. One game loss, two game loss, three game loss. That could be troublesome for either one of these franchises.
And look at a couple of those odds at the bottom of that board as well. Aaron Judge, who ties the Major League Baseball lead with 15 dingers this year, for him to hit at least one this weekend against the Amazons, minus 290. You think that's probably a pretty solid number. But how about Juan Soto, who has not been overly prolific with power outside of playing the Arizona Diamondbacks this year in his first year in Queens, makes his return to the Bronx for at least one home run. That short right field porch inside Yankee Stadium, an area he knows well, at minus 104. Donnie, what is the reception going to be for Juan Soto as he returns to face his former ball club from a year ago in the New York Yankees?
Not all that kind, and that's one of the things when you switch teams, you understand the anticipation of when you do return to that market, which technically you're still playing in New York, but to that ballpark, you are going to hear the scrutiny, and rightfully so. We'll see what that crescendo is going to be. The roll calls, which typically would call out Juan Soto on a roll call when he played for the Yankees, now yelling at him with some cat calls instead.
Oh, cat calls. Not a good thing to do in the streets of New York, but maybe tonight inside Yankee Stadium. The rest of rivalry weekend, including the inaugural Vetter Cup. Yeah, you heard that right. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rivalry weekend all around Major League Baseball. And of course, one of our new favorites is, for the first ever time, the Vetter Cup between the Padres and the Mariners. Yes, that is in reference to Eddie Vetter of Pearl Jam, who once lived in both Seattle and San Diego. I'm not even making it up. That is the exact explanation for why this is a rivalry weekend set between the M's and the Padres. It starts in San Diego with a best of three series between the Padres. DRS, they will play once again in late August up in the Pacific Northwest. And of course, the winner of the season series, not just this weekend, but all six matchups throughout this regular season, will win an actual trophy in honor of Eddie Vedder that is a signed guitar from Pearl Jam's frontman for the Vedder Cup. Here's what happens if the season series ends tied. Three games to San Diego, three games to Seattle. In the result of a tie in the season series between the clubs, the following tiebreakers will be used. Run differential, the team with a greater run differential in the season series. All right, that makes a lot of sense. That's tiebreaker number one. How about tiebreaker number two, known as EV, short for both exit velocity and Eddie Vedder. If the Cubs share, share an even run differential in the season series, the team with the highest exit velocity recorded on a hit in the series will win the Vetter Cup. Again, that's EV for the tiebreaker in honor of exit velo and Eddie Vedder.
How about this? Even flow, thoughts arrive like butterflies. Like, why don't I just sing this? I could be the Eddie Vedder cup here. You know what I mean? What a great tribute band that me could be with Pearl Jam. What do you got?
D.R.S., I'm surprised you're a Pearl Jam guy. All that I know about your music taste. Gaga, please. I'll sit back.
All right. Now you're bringing up some things that have to do with D.R.S. in the household. I don't like Pearl Jam. The wife likes Pearl Jam. We get in the car and Pearl Jam is on. I mock Pearl Jam and try to change the channel. No, and the wife wants to listen to said tunes from Pearl Jam. So there you go. So the only reason why I sing and know it is because I love Pearl Jam and I'm forced to listen to Pearl Jam. So that's why I know so much about it. I'm not big on the grunge scene. Like me growing up, I was a 1990s hip-hop kid. Like I wasn't like, you know, Pearl Jam. I wasn't, you know, Soundgarden and, you know, what's Kurt Cobain's? What was that one again? Who's Kurt Cobain's boys out there? Nirvana. There you go. Slipped my mind. Yeah, that wasn't me. That wasn't my scene. Wasn't my scene. So there you go.
Can you imagine if, like Eddie Vedder, you had either ever lived in San Diego or Seattle? Maybe Pearl Jam would be your favorite band. We'll never know. True. You know, I love our little bits that we come up with on the early line. Like, for instance, as of late, Doug Christie is our guy. We're huge Sacramento Kings fan. We think he is the best and most promising head coach in the NBA, now the permanent head coach in California's capital. As I was reading off the Vedder Cup and the explanation for the rivalry earlier on in our second hour, it does say there is Vedder Cup merch available for purchase. Like,
do we have any?
We can get MLB to send us some Vedder Cup merchandise. In fact, in the break, I'm going to have to look up some Vedder Cup merchandise.
By the way, I ask you a question on this? Like, isn't Eddie Vedder a monster Cubs fan, though? And this is the Vedder Cup? Like, what is this?
Hold on a second. I think he is.
I remember Pearl Jam. Pearl Jam doing a show in Chicago, and he was all like Chicago'd up in jerseys. That's so great to be here. It's my team. But the Vedder Cup is elsewhere? That's odd.
Wow. DRS. He is a well-known and devoted fan of the Cubs.
Yeah.
Vedder has even thrown out the first pitch at Wrigley and performed the seventh inning stretch during Cubs games.
Man.
I mean, maybe we rebrand the White Sox in the Cubs in the Crosstown Classic to the Vedder Cup.
Correct.
Or maybe the Pope Leo the 14th Cup for his true fandom
Eddie
as
and the
well.
Pope. Come on. Be great rivalry.
I don't know. Wait, hold on. You know Eddie Vedder and the Pope have a rivalry?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Could be a great band, too. Eddie and the Pope. I mean, getting down to business out there.
That
you know what I mean?
That is a really good band.
The
really
homilies would be popping.
This guy can do it all. We've seen DRS rap. We've seen him break out some Pearl Jam. Now a little bit of some Friday Faith here on the early line. All right. Let's get to actual handicapping of baseball games, of which DRS is also very good at as well. The opener of the inaugural Vedder Cup tonight in Petco Park in San Diego. The Padres a -154 favorite at home, over under 8.5. Who takes this historic game, DRS, in MLB history?
Yeah, there's probably a reason why we have the favorite there at -154. The Mariners are a pretty good ball club, but understand this. Logan Evans expected to be on the mound for the Mariners. He has struggled against right-handed batters this season. Now, granted, only 68 total batters he's faced, 37 from the right-hand side, but a 206 ISO and a 420 weighted on base percentage with a K rate of only 13%. You look at the lineup tonight for the Padres against right-handed pitching over the past 30 days, they've been tattooing the baseball. Tatis, 394 weighted on base percentage. Arise, 362. Machado, 366. Merrill, 413. Gavin Sheets, 363. And Jake Cronenworth, 464. The advantages there are to their side specifically up against that pitcher. But Kolek also, only 52 batters faced this year, Ben, but he's been really good. An 021 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 214 against. I do like that Seattle lineup. But if I'm looking at this game itself, I'm just trusting the home team just a bit more than the road team. But that 8.5, I don't know how long Kolek's going to pitch for, how well he can do, specifically, as I just said, only 52 batters this year. Maybe an over to the 9, but I do lean home team. Padres get the job done tonight.
DRS, I had to check that because Kolek is not necessarily the most common last name. Steven Kolek is the younger brother of Knicks star and former Marquette superstar Tyler Kolek.
Wow.
Anyway, good day. Good day in the Kolek household, potentially.
Zero ERA
San Diego
Colts.
Wins the first ever game in the first ever Vedder Cup. and Tyler Kolek and his Knicks do win in game number 6 tonight. Although I don't think if the Knicks even win, we're going to see Kolek on the floor for the New York Knicks. I-70 series. What was that? What?
Let it rip out there. By the way, the Eddie Vedder Cup, like, you should get like a Cubs trophy or a W flag if you win that, even though it's nothing to do with Seattle or San Diego. That's what you should get. The W win? Yeah, I'm a Cubs fan. Play into it. All right.
Heck yeah. All right, Vedder Cup to the I-70 series. The Show Me State Showdown, I think, is a better name. Kansas City and St. Louis in the state of Missouri. This one in KC this weekend inside Kauffman Stadium. And we've got Cole Reagans getting to start for KC tonight just because of it. And at home, the Royals, DRS, a pretty hefty favorite. That line now minus 146 in favor of KC.
How about this? 18-mile-an-hour wind sort of blowing out the right field. So if you're a left-handed batter, get it up in that jet stream. You might get a home run. By the way, 77-degree temperatures as well. So we're not at that 48-degree temperatures with the wind blowing. Should be a pleasant night here as we watch this one. But Pallante, as I told you, early in the season, very good pitcher. Starting to struggle as of late. Last 119 batters over the past 30 days, Ben, a 209 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 383. Right-handed batters, if we just take the microscope there, 60 batters he's faced over the past month from the right side, a 283 ISO, and a 432 weighted on base percentage. He's not a big K pitcher. Also understand this. You look at that Royals lineup today going up against right-handed pitching over the past month. Everybody in that expected starting nine, Ben, super low K rates. So a pitcher that does not strike guys out, a battering group of guys for nine batters in that group, they don't strike out either. The ball's going to be in play with windy conditions. You see that 8.5 and it makes sense. But maybe it makes only sense from a team total perspective for Kansas City because the best pitcher on the card today analytically, it's actually Cole Reagans. He's got a 4.20 ERA, which isn't great. But how about his xFIP? 2.25. How about his xFIP minus 54? Winning today are the Kansas City Royals, but also maybe a team total for the Kansas City Royals as well against my guy Andre Pallante.
Of course, the Red Hot Red Birds had their 9-game win streak snapped by Donnie's Phillies in the opener of a doubleheader on Wednesday. But they did win the second game, I think, scoring 14 runs against the Phillies.
Pounded.
So St. Louis playing
Eat
really good base.
Yeah.
Yeah. Aaron Nola got wrecked in that game. St. Louis has still won 10 of their last 11. The Royals were on an absolute heater and now have dropped 4 of their last 5, losing their last 2 series against the Red Sox and the Astros. A little bit more MLB and then to game 6 tonight. Up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
One final game to break down on this full Friday slate that begins Major League Baseball rivalry weekend. Two teams that used to both play in Boston, one that still does, and the other now in Atlanta. A guy that used to play in Boston against his former team. The Aces in place for the Friday opener between the Red Sox and the Braves inside Fenway Park. Garrett Crochet gets the nod for Boston. Chris Sale on the other side for Atlanta. 8 cents of difference now in the money line price with the Sox a slight home favorite, and the total stands at 8. Crochet versus Sale. Red Sox versus Braves. DRS, what do you like?
It's a shame we don't have two tomato cans on the mound today because you'd love an over in Boston. 72 degrees, wind blowing out towards the Green Monster tonight. That typically says runs, but these pitchers say no runs here. You take a look at Garrett Crochet's 76 xFIP minus, which includes a 1.93 ERA. And then you take a look at Chris Sale, whose ERA is a little bit higher, but he's got a 79 xFIP minus. Once again, xFIP minus. You want to be as a pitcher, 100 or less. Both of these pitchers certainly above average this season based on those statistics here. You take a look at the left-hand on the mound, Garrett Crochet. His numbers have been fantastic. Full year, 30 days, take your pick. He's been dominant. And take a look at an Atlanta Braves lineup outside of Sean Murphy, the catcher, has been terrible against left-handed pitching. You flip it over to the other side here with the Boston Red Sox, much better against lefties than the Atlanta Braves, particularly over the past 30 days. But again, it is Chris Sale on the mound. I don't think we're going over that total. I go under that number, but also with a lean towards the Boston Red Sox winning this game. Better lineup against lefties here, and I think Crochet is going to hold the bats down for the Atlanta Braves.
Will that be the only win that Boston as a city has tonight. The Celtics, of course, in game number six as the reigning NBA champs with their title defense and season on the brink as well. We head to Madison Square Garden, game number six. Celtics-Knicks. As good as you could hope for in playoff basketball with all that is at stake just in this bitter rivalry of longtime East Coast foes. And of course, with everything that is maximized here in 2025, the New York Knicks trying to get to the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time since 2000. 2.5 decades ago. No Jason Tatum, of course, for the Boston Celtics. Because of it, for the first time in this series, and just the fifth time all NBA season long, the C's are booked as the underdog. 2.5-point spread in favor of New York. A total slightly on the rise. The over-under stands at 211. Donnie, tell us, do the New York Knicks finally at long last advance to the Eastern Conference Finals? Or might Boston force a game number seven back in the other garden in Beantown on Monday?
Yeah, I think it ends tonight. I do. And you have to understand the Knicks know that as well. They let the game slip away in game number five. They got an avalanche of three-point shots there. You saw them feed off that crowd frenzy as we talked about in Boston. It was an exciting night for them. But sooner than later, you can't run off of that emotion of, hey, let's rally for Jason Tatum. He's not coming back. This isn't Steph Curry and the Warriors where, hey, if we can get this to a game six or seven, we might see our superstar player back in the lineup. He's done for this year, particularly probably for the majority of next season, if he even comes back at all. Advantage Knicks, you need Brunson to step up, you need Anunoby to step up. Bridges, who was so good in the previous game at Madison Square Garden, didn't play at all nearly as well in Boston. He needs to step up here. Karl-Anthony Towns, it's a team effort for the Knicks. That starting five is all playing 40-plus minutes because understand this. This is game seven for the Knicks. I don't think the Knicks win game number seven in Boston. If you let two slip away without Tatum, Boston's feeling like they're going to be the favorite, which they will be in Boston, and rightfully so. You got to throw the kitchen sink at them tonight in the garden. You just hope, Ben, that you can avoid the Celtics being hot to open up the game. Get a double digit for the lead for the Knicks. Then that creeps, the thoughts and the creeps coming in saying, you know what? Maybe we can't get back in without Tatum here. Don't give them hope tonight, Knicks. Big first half, Knicks by double digits at the break in front of a raucous garden, and they win this going away.
And raucous is the correct word. This is the biggest game in Madison Square Garden in 25 years. Mike Breen, who also calls Knicks games throughout the regular season, said after game number four, the biggest win for New York in 2.5 decades. Yeah. This is the biggest game and potentially the biggest win for the Knicks in 25 years if they can hold serve on their home floor tonight. Total down by a hook now at 210.5. Again, the first game for the Knicks as the favorites in this series. Donnie, I ask you this. Is there a world in which the winner of tonight's game does not cover? Maybe. It's a 2.5-point spread. It could be tight to the very wire. Is it worth it at all for you to lay a little bit more chalk and just take New York on the money line to win outright in advance of the Eastern Conference Finals? Updated money line price now -142.
No, because I think the Knicks are the better team tonight. Like, I don't think we're worried about a possession late in the game. And by the way, if we're worried about a possession late in the game, I'm really losing on the Knicks. Like, I understand that Boston is still a quality team, but this is your game in your building, fully healthy. You had a 3-1 series lead. We shouldn't be having this as a timeout to advance a ball with 2 seconds to go and a chance to win it for Boston tonight. This needs to be a resounding Knicks victory, which means, yes, they better be winning by 3+ points.
Love it. And by the way, in terms of the first half, to not allow Boston to get off to a hot shooting start, as we actually saw in both games three and four in the Garden before they cooled off, even before the devastating injury to Jason Tatum in that fourth game. And we saw it, of course, in quarter number one, the man that was white hot, Derek White, who had 34 points in game number five inside TD Garden. His points prop tonight, second highest for the Celtics. Jaylen Brown, 26 points, doing a bit of everything for the C's in that fifth game. Highest points prop, 25.5. Jalen Brunson, 30 and a hook. I would look at Mikal Bridges. I would look at OG Anunoby. They were awful in game five. They combined 15 points between the two, and they were, I think, a combined 5 of 26 from the floor. I think the wings have been the difference for the Knicks in this series. That needs to continue tonight. Quickly, DRS, game seven, Sunday afternoon in Oklahoma City. Ooh. The Thunder, a 7.5-point favorite. Yeah. Who wins game seven? Who covers in game seven?
I'm rooting for Denver. I think they can get the cover, but I do think Oklahoma City at home will be too tough at that point here. So that should be a fun Sunday. But by the way, quick topic before I get out of here. What's the best borough in New York City? We all know it's not Queens. So which borough gets hyped up tonight for the win for the New York Knicks? Ooh. Which borough gets lit tonight, like partying out there?
Say it's Staten Island, probably. All right, DRS, we appreciate the time. Have fun on the money line. Preakness preview next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The second leg of the Triple Crown this weekend, tomorrow evening at Pimlico. It is the 2025 Preakness Stakes. Helping us get set for the second leg of the Triple Crown is Alexa Zepp, who is live right now in Baltimore with Daily Racing Form to close out this week on the early line with a Preakness handicap. Alexa, as always, we appreciate the time. Thanks for being here on the early line.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Anytime. It's an exciting weekend. We don't have a potential Triple Crown winner, but still a great race.
It will be a great race, no doubt. 9 horses in the field. But Alexa, as you mentioned, let's start with that. No Triple Crown at stake in 2025 because Sovereignty, the winner of the 2025 Kentucky Derby, will not run this weekend in Baltimore. I think the natural question for a lot of fans getting ready to tune in for the Preakness, Alexa, is why? So can you provide that answer? Why is Sovereignty not running in the 2025 Preakness Stakes?
Yeah, they've chosen to point towards the Belmont, which is the third jewel of the Triple Crown. And I think they said he's totally fine. He's doing well. His trainer generally doesn't do great with running horses back on short rest. So I think they're just paying attention to the horse and saying they want a long career for him. They're talking about running him internationally next year, keeping him going, not retiring him for stud or anything. And so they said in order to see the long game and have the best career outcome, they're not going to run it back in 2 weeks, and they're going to do the Belmont and then aim for just a long, good career. So I respect it. You know, their owners, they don't need the money. Like, you know, they're big owners. So I get it. I got to respect it.
Yeah, absolutely. So the horse that finished runner-up at the Kentucky Derby in the pre-Derby favorite is also the favorite now entering the Preakness tomorrow evening. That would be Journalism at an 8-5 price. A runner-up for the run for the Roses. What can we expect out of Journalism, Alexa, this weekend in Baltimore?
Yeah, he's a very valid favorite. So we have 3 horses out of the 9 that ran, that are coming back from the Kentucky Derby. So we have Journalism, Sandman, and American Promise. Journalism is my top selection in here. If he runs his race, the race is for second place. I truly believe that. You do have the risk of, you know, coming back on short rest in 2 weeks. Is he going to be at his peak? But he's by far the classiest, most accomplished, most consistent horse in this race. The only shade I could throw is that he's coming back on that short rest. The race is going to set up pretty nicely for him. You know, he's a closer, kind of like Salmon. There are really only 2 closers in here. The pace shouldn't be blazing fast, but it should be contentious. So it should set up where some of those early horses might burn each other out and he can come, you know, snag it at the end. Sandman is also coming back.
Yeah.
He kind of disappointed in the Derby. You know, he was 6-1 or plus 600. He got 7th place. I mean, 7th in the Derby is still incredible, right? But I don't think he loved the mud. Like, the Derby was so wet and sloppy and gross. I don't think he loved that. And when you think about it, like, you're a closer like Sammy. I mean, you're getting so much kickback in your face. I don't think he loved it. And like I said, it's going to be really rainy here this week. It's going to dry out a little bit tomorrow, but it's definitely, it's rained all week. It's going to rain today. It's not going to be like a hard and fast track by any means. So I think it's going to be a little bit of a tough spot. We have one Baffert horse in here. There were going to be two, but now that it's down to one, and he's won this race a record of 8 times. I know for people who aren't huge racing fans, you probably still recognize Bob Baffert's name, and that's goal-oriented. He started his career really late. He's only run 2 times, but he's undefeated. He looks really good. This is going to be a big class test. He's never run against this caliber of horses before. But I think goal-oriented, that's the number one in here. He's my second pick in here, or third pick, sorry, goal-oriented. So that's the one Baffert in the race.
A 6-1 price currently on goal-oriented on FanDuel. Alexa, in this final minute of this segment, if you had a best bet for the Preakness tomorrow, whether a straight wager, an exotic, what would that be for the 2025 Preakness Stakes?
Yeah, I would play a straight exacta with Journalism on top over the number 6, River Thames, who's probably going to be the pace setter in here. So I think he can lead the way. And he got second to Sovereignty in the Fountain of Youth by a neck. So he's obviously right up at the caliber there with the horse that did win the Kentucky Derby. So I would play a straight exacta, Journalism over River Thames.
I love it, Alexa. Thank you so much for your time. Alexa Zepp with Daily Racing Form, live in Baltimore, getting ready for tomorrow's Preakness Stakes. Alexa, thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate the time here on this Friday on the Early Line. That does it for us today. That does it for us this week. Everybody, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday.